Your neighborhood gives me the creeps. Your neighborhood gives me the creeps. Ooh, your neighborhood gives me the creeps.
Welcome all you spooks and kooks. You're listening to Weird Chicago Radio with Adam and Ken. Brought to you by Weird Chicago Tours, the alternative tour of Chicago's local legends and best-kept secrets. Visit us online at www.weirdchicago.com.
You live off of Cemetery Road.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the first episode of Weird Chicago Radio, our podcast. This is Adam Seltzer. With me is Ken Berg.
Hey, everybody. How you doing?
All right. Today, we are actually venturing into the Bachelor's Grove Cemetery for our first episode. We should probably talk a little bit about the journey here, because apparently there's some unseen force that doesn't want us to get into Bachelor's Grove Cemetery. We took a wrong turn on the way, then we found ourselves on Cicero Avenue. I don't know if any of you guys aren't from Chicago, but it's not the nicest part of town. We found ourselves, we passed
one live sheep, seven men with no necks, six stuffed cows. One heck of a hot dog place that we stopped at today. The atmosphere was probably better than the hot dogs. I'd have to agree with you there, Adam. Now, we're actually getting a little bit further into the woods here, it actually, even though it's bright and sunny out, the foliage is just starting to turn color.
It's gorgeous out here.
But the trees have almost an ominous look about them. I'm going to take a couple of shots here, so when you hear the podcast, this will be picture number two that you will see on the podcast. We're going to number these pictures so you can see them. The first one is Adam walking into the turnpike itself. That's picture one. Picture two here is what we're seeing as we go in. Now, we're just beginning to get kind of a bit of a breeze. And this is the spot where a lot of these phantom houses that had been originally seen here along the path had actually been witnessed.
Now, this is actually well known as the most haunted cemetery in all of the state of Illinois, possibly the entire country.
United States, I would say.
What's interesting is normally ghost investigators would tell you cemeteries shouldn't be haunted because ghosts are a little more likely to haunt the place they died, and nobody actually dies inside of a cemetery, or if they do, it's kind of convenient. But so when we do find haunted cemeteries, it seems like they have a lot of very bizarre ghosts, not the kind of ghosts we would normally see. At Bachelor's Grove, there are reports of a two-headed man walking around the pond. There are reports of headlights of a car glowing out of a pond that isn't really deep enough to hold a car. And most notoriously, my personal favorite is the Mystery House. A lot of people have reported as they drive by this place, they see this white Victorian farmhouse, two stories with a porch and a porch swing. They kind of differ on where it's supposed to be, but what's weird is that there is absolutely no record of there ever having been a house there. We're getting a little bit closer up now, so we'll check back in a second.
If I could jump in with a short bit of narration here, I should point out that we have edited this down so we could fit a long investigation into a short podcast. You don't really need to hear us tromping around for several minutes. Also, I want to remind everybody to go to www.weirdchicago.com, where we have more information and pictures from the investigation. We're going to pick up very early on, right after we got into the cemetery, when we ran into several other people who were there for pretty much the same reason.
Yeah. So you guys do this for a living, man?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Happy.
Is that a tape recorder?
No, this is an EVP meter. Every now and then we will get really weird stuff on investigations. You know,
like what?
A while ago we investigated this haunted tattoo parlor. The place had been a funeral home from 1903 up to 2003, a little family-owned place. After the last owner died, his kids didn't want to take over, so it just went out of business. And we were walking around the place, and the upstairs we got the sound of an organ music playing up in one of the bedrooms where they told us nobody could ever get a good night's sleep. Down a little bit lower, we found there was something that sounded like something laughing at us on the staircase. And then down in the basement, you can probably imagine the basement of a funeral home is going to be spooky to start with. I mean, we could see where the drainage...
Are you doing all this shit at nighttime?
Oh, yeah. Oh. I mean, we found where the drainage area was, where the incinerator used to be. There was these casket-shaped holes in the side of the walls where apparently caskets were passed through to the hearses. Yeah. And I was following around this girl who was supposed to be a psychic. Now, you know, she came recommended by Ken, who's a professional at these things. Normally, I'm skeptical of this stuff, but even in this case, it couldn't have possibly hurt. So she led me over to this corner, and I started feeling there's like about a 20-degree temperature
temperature drop.
Yeah.
Then I felt like somebody was tapping at my shoulder. Yeah, cold
spot. This was Keegan or Caitlin? Caitlin.
This was Caitlin.
20 degrees. That's significant.
That's a very, that was one of them that I could really notice. And right then she said, there's something right here. And I said, well, what? Who's here? Right then through my earphone, I heard a voice go, Walter!
Get out!
Which was the name of the last owner.
Yeah, who had died.
Awesome, man.
And we passed Walter Street on the way in here. So.
Yeah. I just think there's one in here that says Walter. Yeah, it did.
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
Wheeler. It's Walter Klump was his last name.
I'm glad we ran into you guys, man.
That's really nice.
What's your name?
Carmen.
Hey, man.
Carmelo.
Very cool. Now, if you go back to the parking lot, you're sure to see our bus.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah.
Take care, man.
All right. Cool. Thanks for talking to you guys.
Thanks a lot, man.
All right.
Okay, that's fine. I wanted to talk first about the history of this place before we even begin talking about the ghosts. Now, the cemetery itself, to our knowledge, was first built around the year 1834. Historically, there are two different theories as to why this was called Bachelor's Grove Cemetery. Now, the first one was that there were many Irish bachelors that were constructing the Illinois-Michigan Canal that had come here without wives. They had lived here and worked here and died here. And many of these bachelors were the individuals that were buried here in Bachelor's Grove. Now, the second story is the one that I tend more to believe. It's the one that it tends to be a little bit more historically accurate. And that is that this whole plot of land at one point was owned by the Batch Elder family. They turned this into a graveyard, and then they expanded on it a little bit, opened it up a little bit more. And then later on through the years, the name Batch Elder changed and became Bachelor's Grove. Now, there's a number of different ghosts here. As Adam mentioned before, there's the phantom house, there is the car, there is also a phantom horse and farmer.
Yes,
and
yes,
he actually got moored down inside of the pond itself. The horse got trapped, panicked, dragged him down, and he's been seen here a number of times, including there was two people on our tour. You weren't there that
really?
Night. It was a Saturday that had seen a horse, and they just couldn't believe it because they had never heard of the story of the horse itself. And they were telling me that they had been here. It was late at night on June 23rd, and they had come out and they had claimed to first hear the horse, then they saw the phantom horse kind of galloping all the way through. This is one of the most haunted spots in the United States. We have, there are currently three graduate level parapsychology programs in the world in existence right now. Of those three, one is at Duke University in the United States. One is at the University of Moscow. The third is at the University of Edinburgh. Whenever they send somebody to the United States to do research on ghosts and ghost investigations, this is the place that they stop at. This and Jane Addams Hull House. Now, Bachelor's Grove also had tales of things like ghost lights, not just orbs, but actual ghost lights that would be going through. And we're going to be trying to find the spot that a woman named Mary Hull caught a photograph that is reputedly the most active proof of any form of ghost photography that has ever been taken. There's a full form apparition of a woman on a tomb. Now
we'll make sure to have that on the website.
Absolutely.
We'll make absolutely sure. Hang on one second.
So I'm going to let Adam get a word in edgewise while I continue to take pictures.
Well, while we're wandering around here, I'm going to talk just a little bit about the kind of thing that it is that Ken and I do. We get called out to various places to investigate, or we take people to places to investigate on tours pretty regularly. And what we look there for there is evidence that the place might actually be haunted. Like if we hear there are a bunch of orb photographs that have been taken, like little wider gray balls of light, we'll go out there with sofa cushions and beat them to take a picture of the dust, see if we can reproduce the effect. And every now and then we will find places where we absolutely can't explain the pictures that we're getting. Now, what I get a lot of the pictures, when people show me their Bachelor's Grove pictures, it's usually like playing Find the Hidden Picture in Highlights for Children magazine. Like they'll show me the leaves and say, see, there's a human form up here in the leaves, and it looks like a bunch of nonsense to me. But every now and then we do get something really weird, either a really, really weird picture or a really weird audio recording, where we have to fall back on the fact that the only real explanation is that it must have been faked. But since we were there, we can kind of take their word for it that it wasn't. What I always tell people is, given all the ways there are to fake these things, there's really no such thing as good ghost evidence. There's only cool ghost evidence. That's kind of my golden rule of ghost hunting. This is kind of where I differ from a lot of other ghost hunters. I don't think I'm going to prove anything. I don't think I'm going to disprove anything. I don't think you can do either one of those. I just like cool stuff.
One of the big questions on everybody's minds may be what makes this cemetery so particularly haunted, other than the fact that we say it is, and there's been a number of stories about it. The majority of the activity that has been seen here didn't happen back at the beginning of the cemetery when it was built in the 1830s. And by the way, I don't know if I did mention that it was on top of an older Potawatomi burial ground that was directly beneath this. And one of the things that we had found throughout the Chicago area is that when we are doing investigations on Potawatomi or here on Wyandotte burial grounds, that we are able to sense those ghosts just as readily as we would somebody of European, African, or Asian descent. Now, the majority of the hauntings started to occur here in the early to mid-1970s, which is coincidentally the same time when many of the graves in this cemetery were desecrated. The tombs were tipped over, bones were actually stolen and taken out of caskets. People, especially kids, would come here, they would drink, they would party all night long, and we had heard a number of different stories that about this particular cemetery that ended up becoming urban legend at a later point in time, including the story about the man with a hooked hand who had attacked the couples at Lover's Lane. That was one of the major stories that a lot of us had probably heard as kids. Well, there was some truth to that fact. There was a madman that had attacked a single couple, not a whole group of people, but a single couple, and he did have a prosthetic hand, and it happened right outside of Bachelor's Grove Cemetery. So that story does have some truth in fact. Now, just behind Adam is the pond that there is a lot of the activity here. This is also one of the places, besides Wolf Lake, that Al Capone had dumped numerous bodies, which is another source of some of the potential hauntings here, because there was actual bodies that were dumped at this site.
So we're told. Anyway.
So we're told, at least.
So the rumor goes. A lot of this stuff, we have to do the best research that we can, but that doesn't necessarily...
It's an excellent point.
You know, we can't always verify these things. We just have to do the best we can. Actually, the fence to this to the pond is broken open, so let's get a little bit closer.
Can you take a shot?
Now, this is the area where people see the two-headed man. It is where people see the headlights on the cars. It's where they see people say talk about seeing a man dressed in a yellow suit walking around this general vicinity.
The physical condition of the cemetery itself is quite dilapidated, as it's been gone into disrepair over the years.
Yeah, if it's not the most haunted cemetery in Chicago, it's certainly at least the most vandalized.
And one of the things that I was talking about earlier was that there was so much vandalism that had gone on during the late 70s that is probably the primary reason that the majority of these ghosts started to activate. Whenever a lack of commemoration goes on at some place, whether that is at an accident and disaster site and say they just don't put up a plaque or statue or somebody tears that commemoration down, or it's a graveyard that's been desecrated, the ghosts want to be remembered in some way, shape, or form. At least that's the theory. And they oftentimes get more active at those particular spots at those times. Had there been ghost stories around Bachelor's Grove prior to 1970s? Of course there was.
Yeah.
But it drastically increased after the late 1960s, essentially, into the early 70s, 80s, and especially the 90s.
A mysterious golf bag in the pond over here.
Which Capone guy was that? Was that Nitti?
I think it was Nitti. So we're going to go back here, see if we can find the foundations of the house. Did you find something?
Yeah, ball stone.
What stone?
This is actually a sacred stone to people of different pagan religions.
Really?
Anytime that you have a stone with a hole in it that goes all the way through. It's called a bull stone, B-O-L-E, and it's a representation of the feminine. I'm actually going to take this for myself.
All right.
As a souvenir. But the reason I initially came down here was that stone right there I thought was a skull.
Yeah.
Can you take a picture of that real quick?
Yeah. Okay. Actually, we're not looking at a rock here.
What?
It's a plastic bag.
I figured that. Kind of dyslexic, but he also has bad eyes.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to verify that. So I don't do aura readings. I just wanted to be clear on that. Don't do auras.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit for us about what kind of psychic work you do? Because we know everybody's very jaded over the, by this time by things like Miss Cleo and stuff like that.
Right. Well, first of all, man, I'm Jamaican. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not really Jamaican. One of the things that I'm a specialist in more than anything else is actually I'm one of these folks that's called a psychic detective. Now, let me start by telling you what being a psychic in my case does not mean. I do not read minds. I sure as hell don't know the lottery numbers. If I did, I wouldn't be doing ghost tours for a living. I'd probably be living in Hawaii sipping Mai Tais. But what I am particularly good at is being a psychic detective, and I assist the police with their different... primarily murder suspect identification attempts. When the police have done their job and they have somebody that they suspect may have done a crime, they come to talk to somebody like me that may be able to lead them into the correct direction. And I've assisted to date on 17 different murder suspect identification cases in which I've had convictions. I do search and rescue for lost children. I have a private practice doing psychic readings. You can always check out my website at psychicken.com. Or you can always reach me at psychicken@comcast.net, either one of those sources, or just right through the Weird Chicago website. One of the other things that I absolutely love to do is ghost investigations, because I'm particularly good at spotting, as Adam mentioned before, where the ghosts are. Now, I'm not a clairvoyant. I don't see things. I am not a clairaudient. I don't hear things. I'm what's called a clairsentient, which means I sense things or feel things. It's sort of like having, I guess, radar.
It's really good instincts is what you have.
Absolutely. And psychic ability is something that everybody has. My instincts, though, are a little bit better than that, because I do have precognitive flashes. And one of the things that I do is I've actually had well over 50 different items that I have had notarized at one point or another, where I've had made predictions either about earthquakes or births that have come along or have come along. One of the other things that I'm particularly good at is numbers when it comes to like dates, times, military units even. There was one case that I worked on at the Atonic Room, and they had an issue there with a particular ghost that had been in the basement of that building. Now, when we got there, we went down, and I didn't get a lick of ghost activity at all when I had been searching around. Didn't have any psychic feelings at all, which was very odd. Usually, I get incredible amounts of these feelings, no matter where I'm at, especially if I'm in something like a bar or, you know, in a public space or giving a lecture at some point. Now, what I had sensed there is that the guy who had called us up, I didn't know this at the time, but he had been in the military, and he had kind of a difficult time down in the basement as well. When we went down there, and then we had come back up again, it was almost as if my psychic ability had been turned instantly on, as though it were thrown on like a switch. And I identified this guy as a former member of the 101st Airborne who was in Kosovo. I described a very specific situation that he was in, told him the date, time, and place that he was there when one of his buddies was shot, described where he was shot and how. There were two other investigators with me at the time that could verify this. This is one of the, you know, just examples of it. Now, does that happen all the time? Absolutely not. But when it does happen, I get pretty solid information from it. It's not very vague or very nonspecific. It's very, very specific.
All right. Well, thanks, Ken. We've moved up from the ravine area now. We're walking around along the outer edge of the cemetery fence. Just still seeing what we can find. A lot of felled trees out here. Man, this really is a gorgeous area out here.
It really is.
You know, it's not as foreboding as people would have you believe a lot of times. Granted, there's an abandoned cemetery over here, but this looks exactly like they describe a Sleepy Hollow, actually, especially the old church.
The movie The Blair Witch.
Yeah.
It has
yeah,
a real
thanks for bringing
feeling.
That up, Ken. After I saw that movie, I really honestly was freaked out for 2 weeks.
That actually, I know a lot of people like laughed at that movie, thought it was silly, but I actually, it scared me more than any movie that I had seen in probably 3 decades.
Same here. Actually, I was, for 2 weeks, I was lying at work saying I was sick so I could drive home before it got dark. Hey, guys.
Hey, anything interesting up there?
The house?
Yeah. It's this way.
But I don't know, because there's supposed to be two, isn't there?
No.
No.
I thought there was two.
Well, one is a phantom house.
Yeah.
And we don't know if
there's a phantom house that floats along the trail here.
I heard people that came and see like a porch light or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead and cross it, Adam.
Okay. Yeah.
Take your chance. The trail here.
I heard people that came and see like a porch light or something.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead and cross it, Adam.
Okay. Yeah.
Take your chance.
Phantoms suck.
Did you hear that?
No.
When you play back just about 5 seconds, like not right now, listen to the point where I said, did you hear that? And listen just about 5 seconds before.
Yeah, obviously.
There it goes again. Did you hear it?
No.
Right there?
What are you hearing? Voice?
No. A high-pitched crying noise.
Got it. I think, they're a siren.
No. Well, there is a siren going off over there, but this is coming from over in that way, about 40 feet off to our left.
I just heard a creaking door sound, but I think it's just the recorder noise.
No, it's coming from over there. Right where I'm pointing. You hear that?
I just heard a moan, too. A dog barking.
Now, there is multiple trails going all the way throughout these woods that not only look haunted, but sound.
Now we're getting to a much more foreboding area. The cemetery itself wasn't bothering me at all, but this area is spooky. This is where the Headless Horseman would show up.
There's a very interesting dichotomy going on here of the sounds of the city off to our very far right, where you hear sirens and planes and cars.
Whoa, and here we got a sinkhole.
A well.
That's a well. I've never heard a story about a well being in here. You'd think people would have told me about that.
Camera's officially dead.
Okay, mine's fine.
My battery just...
Really?
One of the things that Adam and I always tell people when they're on our ghost tours is that when they come to a location that is apparently very haunted, their batteries may suddenly and mysteriously drain. Now, this battery I had charged for 24 hours before I came out here today, and all of a sudden, batteries are gone. Now, I'm seeing several stones here that looks like it may have been the foundation of a house at one point. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this, Adam, but suddenly it feels much lighter, much happier.
Yeah.
The woods itself feels nicer, but back there, and all of a sudden, batteries are gone. Now, I'm seeing several stones here that looks like it may have been the foundation of a house at one point. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this, Adam, but suddenly it feels... I'm a pretty big geek, I have to admit it. And I write Dungeons & Dragons adventures. I work for a couple of different companies doing game design. And there is one particular tale about a two-headed giant that lives in these woods. Now, in Dungeons & Dragons, there's a mythological creature called the Ettin, E-T-T-I-N, which is a two-headed giant. And I've been incredibly interested to see if I could find anything more about this particular tale.
We're in this kind of like a place where there's dead trees everywhere here. Suddenly this clearing...
Can you take a shot of this? These trees are all dying.
Yeah. All the areas in just this one area.
This
maybe
entire
got,
grove, everything is dying here.
Yes, it's maybe they got a disease or something. I can see this tree over here looks particularly diseased.
Well,
there are various fungi growing off of several of them.
Right, that's not unnormal though for this sort of area. I don't see any blight or rot in the larger trees, but you'll notice that many of the limbs in the lower levels are gone.
Yeah.
On the majority of these, and then many of them,
have been
like
dead
this one, are particularly dead-looking. By the way, even though there is the beginning of autumn going on here in Illinois, by no means have all the leaves fallen from the trees at this point. Because we can see all the other deciduous trees in the area that have plenty of leaves on them, and just everything in this one small spot
looks dead.
There's a couple of man-made structures.
Yeah, we got some bricks over here.
Throughout here for the rest.
Let's head back over to the well and get a better look at the foundation.
The woods here look as though they're endless, like they could keep going on for miles and miles.
There's a couple of man-made structures.
Yeah, we got some bricks over here.
Throughout here for the
sheriff and a photographer from the Tribune. And we're going to be doing an exploration of Bachelor's Grove and the surrounding area.
I got a flash.
All right, it's a flash.
Prickers. Bushes are nice because they don't have prickers, unless they do.
Yes, just so everybody knows, Adam and I are risking life and limb here as we've been pricked by several bushes, and the nature does not seem to be happy with us in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Ah.
More prickers over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you do come to Bachelor's Grove, folks, wear long pants and long-sleeved shirts. I don't care if it's the middle of summer.
Especially in the summer.
Yeah. I don't care how hot it is, cover up. Yeah. We're out here still exploring the general area around the foundations of the house,
there's
which may or may not have anything
metal,
to do...
There's all different sorts of pieces of the house.
Yeah.
About over here.
Yeah, we got little pieces that look like pottery or something. Right about here, we'll play back the recording and get an old man going, "You kids, get off of my property!"
If it wasn't for those meddling ghost investigators, they would have gotten away with it.
Now, we're back in the area right now, exactly nearby the foundation where we were getting those weird noises earlier.
And just to be clear on this, there is no door frames. There is no standing structure to that house.
No,
it was all very flat to the ground. You've seen the pictures that Adam had taken.
You'll see a sinkhole area with some stones stacked up that were clearly the foundation of a wall or something at one point. We've come on what used to be clearly a footpath. This is paved.
It's easy to see why so many people thought this place... was indeed haunted throughout the years, though.
Yeah. Just the psychological effect. It's especially when you get out past the cemetery, it's spooky back here. All these signs of a former civilization, or a mild civilization. Little bits of piping.
It's easy to see why this is one of the favorite spots of many investigators throughout the greater Chicago area.
Yeah.
But I definitely would prefer to come here, I think, at night. Not only because it's just a tad scarier, but as Adam has mentioned before, even though ghosts don't tend to appear more at night versus the day, for photographic purposes, many of them are oftentimes highlighted more. You can see the contrast
a little bit more. It's easier to see things at night, or possibly you're just more in that psychological place. Oh, we found ourselves. We've emerged from the woods near the cemetery and gotten back to it.
This is where we wanted to be, right?
Yeah.
You want to go back into the cemetery?
Yeah, let's go back through it.
You want to go the back way or the front way?
Let's go through the front, yeah.
Again, light, happy, nice woods.
Yeah.
That one small section, though, incredibly creepy. Nothing terribly paranormal today, but we'll take a look at the EVP.
Yeah, we'll take a look at stuff later.
I don't consistently know 100% that these are ghosts. But there are energies that happen at these places that can be picked up by sensitive.
Yeah, there's various environmental effects that are perceived as ghosts. All right, well, Ken, what have we seen today?
Well, as you mentioned, we saw seven cows, stuffed life size,
a live sheep, Life-sized.
We
several had no-neck monsters.
Several no-neck monsters.
We got Loth. Mild civilization. Little bits of piping. There's apparently some sort of force that didn't want us to get out here because we took the wrong turn. We traveled through a land of strange creatures. The car broke down in a bad part of town. But then eventually when we got here, we didn't really find anything unusual as far as we know, except for one little section over by the foundations of the old house.
And it definitely warrants more investigation. And there are a great number of individuals coming into and out of the cemetery for their own form of exploration. So it's quite easy to find out why people are very attracted to this particular spot. Yeah. So this is Ken.
This is Adam.
And we're signing off for the very first podcast of Weird Chicago. Yeah.
Tune in to the next episode for results of the investigation and more. For more information, see www.weirdchicago.com.
Signing off for the very first podcast of Weird Chicago. Yeah.
Tune in to the next episode for results of the investigation and more. For more information, see www.weirdchicago.com.
Thank you.